got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody we didn't hate for long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back. All right, top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, October 19th, 2023. Real quick, and we'll go to the phones. So speaking of, you know, the thing that's so crazy, speaking of all of this gaslighting, you know, there's religious subject matter in view, biblical subject matter in view, and, you know, people who call themselves Christians are, in, you know, drawn in and to a conflict and embroiled. Naming the thing Israel, you know, that's a really diabolically brilliant tactic by folks who are not Orthodox Jews by any stretch of the imagination. You know, Herzl and company were not Orthodox Jews by any stretch of the imagination. The continuation of that, you know, from on forward, you know, to this day, you know, even looking, I don't know where that section is on the Wikipedia entry. It may have been done away with. There was a section that talked about the religious nature of how revisionist Zionists are not, they're irreligious. I can't find it. Anyway, but even, you know, that entry says revisionist Zionism has strongly influenced modern right-wing Israeli parties, principally Herut and its successor Likud. And so, you know, is Netanyahu an Orthodox Jew? You know, and so it's interesting in the gaslighting of that whole issue, Christians supporting a thing that's called Israel and is led and run by people who really have no affiliation properly is, you know, a mind bender, which is why I think it was apropos when Rabbi Yaakov Shapiro in the clip that we played earlier said, you know, call it whatever, call it Herzl Stan. That would be an appropriate name. Call it the Holy Land. That would be better because, you know, the Holy Land would not be exclusionary. And, you know, anybody who looks at this issue says it's interesting that these people that, you know, the leadership in particular can be exclusionary and essentially racist and you know, all those things. But when anyone else does it, oh my goodness, you're a terrible person. You're probably an anti-Semite, regardless of who you're against whom you're discriminating. It's amazing how that works and how, you know, people, Christian people can be sucked into this psyop, this mind job. So the thing that I wanted to mention real quick is that's fascinating is, you know, Christians get sucked into this because their theology is all jacked up. They have a replacement theology that they don't realize, you know, they want to say Isaiah 66, you know, verse 8 in the NASB, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Can a land be born in one day? Can a nation be brought forth all at once? And so they say, you know, that's evidence that God did this thing in 1948. And I say, you need to reinvestigate your history because that's an erroneous perspective there was a massive effort. And, you know, I did a search yesterday on Google's Ngram for the terms Zionism and Nazi, because that usually comes up in discussion. You know, these terms weren't used before the turn of the 20th century. That's not true. And it's interesting how there's this explosion in Google Ngram at the turn of the 20th century of the use of the term Zionism. All of a sudden, there are all of these explainers by the usual suspects, you know, even the British contingent. It's not just Herzl and Weizmann and company. It's, you know, Arthur James Balfour and friends. What is that all about? You know, in preparation for what's coming, obviously. That was, you know, at in 1907, Herzl wrote something like 10 Years of Zionism or something. And there are all of these explainers in that time. And you got ministers and all kinds of, you know, Zionist folks cut in the cloth of William E. Blackstone, that kind of thing. So you're telling me this just suddenly appeared after the first Zionist Congress? All of a sudden, everybody's just fascinated with this. The history goes back further. Anyway, without diving down that rabbit hole, you know, it was not created in a day. There were about 150 years. You know, Herzl said basically, you know, within 50 years, this thing will be created. How do you reconcile that, for starters? He said after the first World Zionist Congress in 1897. So, you know, my mind goes to Revelation chapter 21. The first problem is that most Christians somehow have arrived at this erroneous view of who the bride is. Who is the bride of Christ? The Lamb's wife. Revelation 21, 9 and 10 tells us very clearly, "And there came unto me," this is the King James, "there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife, lest we doubt." There you go. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who is it? It's the church, right, Chris? No, that's replacement theology. And then in verse 10, it says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." And so I would say to those who say, well, you know, Israel's reemergence on the world stage is foreshadowed in Isaiah 66. I would say, is it really? Speaking of that city, in Revelation 21, verses 9 and 10, that New Jerusalem, if you continue reading Isaiah 66, what is mentioned? Do you see Israel mentioned anywhere? Or do you see Jerusalem? "Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her, rejoice for joy." These are the verses following verse 8. So to put this in context, verses 8 through 10, do we see Israel mentioned in Isaiah? Yeah, one time. In verse 20, "And they shall bring..." Well, let me back up. Let me do verses 8 through 10 first. "Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." And these guys counterfeited this concept preemptively to lead many astray, to usher in the age of the Antichrist, the abomination of desolation, etc., etc. Anyway, continuing, "Shall I bring... to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith God." Verse 10, "Rejoice ye with Jerusalem." Yeah, but that's Israel. No, it's Jerusalem. And be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. And then skipping forward to verse 20, is Israel mentioned? Yes, verse 20. And they shall, in what context though? And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all the nation, out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. So you have all kinds of things in view there that dispel this myth that has been perpetrated and perpetuated that Christians get sucked into. It's right there. If you read these passages, even just those two, Isaiah 66 and Revelation 21, it's pretty much all right there. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear and are not trying to superimpose on the text something that's not there. So it's fascinating to hear these discussions, and when you try to dig into the details with people, of course they have no idea how to substantiate the psyop they've been conditioned into. But, you know, it's easier to fool a person than to convince them they've been fooled, isn't it? So, to the phones we go. Lynn in Maryland, thanks for calling. Welcome. Do we have Lynn?
Thank you, Chris.
Good morning.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Mm-hmm. Good morning, America.
Yeah.
Let me pull up Ryan first. Are you on with Richard Carey today?
I am.
1
right
o'clock
after this broadcast.
Eastern
yeah.
time, right after your program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I didn't hear you say anything about
no,
it.
No,
so
I hadn't yet.
Okay. And
but yes.
Also, I will pull a Brian, but it's different because I'm not going to ask you to have her on, but I would if I were you. Deborah Tavares is actually going to be on with Alan on Sunday the 29th, StopTheCrime.net. She actually, when I talked to her last week, she has an enormous disclosure and unbelievable circumstances. And the difference between us is there are things that I didn't disclose to people, even with feds following me around for 6 weeks. You know, I know when I'm supposed to keep my mouth shut. You know. If it's confidential and nobody's life is at risk, I'm not going to say anything. If your life's at risk, I'll warn you.
Mm-hmm.
The other day in the Pentagon briefing, Sabrina King, the Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary, actually said Israel has never targeted any civilian citizen ever. There's one of those false flag things. Never ever happened. You know, the IDF would never do that. So I actually called the Washington Post and said, what are journalists considered? Wasn't Shireen an American citizen of the United States of America, living in Palestine, a Christian, and a reporter? And the IDF actually shot the two other press people with her away from her, and then shot the cameraman, the one person who could have actually, you know, maybe protected her somehow, shot him in the shoulder to get him away, and then took a dead straight sniper shot to the back of her head and killed her. And our FBI and our State Department will not lift a finger to investigate it, kind of like Khashoggi. Oh, no, but Israel and Saudi Arabia can get it together. You know, we got Abraham Courts now. Thank you very much. On Monday or Tuesday, there was this huge event at the historical synagogue at 6th and I Street in D.C. with everybody who's a who's who and politicians that came and gave speeches. And there are a couple things that I'm sure everybody appreciate this, that Jonathan Greenblatt informed us all. And then I'm going to share something that was stated to all of us a week ago about what will not be tolerated here in the United States, ordered by the president. Anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
And then the little thing went along to tell us that, and I forget who the person was who said this, but he actually repeated it three times. America must provide all support and supplies and everything needed for Israel.
Yeah.
America must provide all they need. And today we stand here united. The United States of America united with the nation of Israel. And I am like...
How do folks in
like,
Maui feel
Don't tell
about
me not
that,
to
I
fall
wonder.
In to get a little upset. Now, in this past week... There have been 750 Palestinians arrested. There are over 6,000 Palestinians in Israeli jails that have never been charged with anything. I figured something out this week. You know what? Hamas is code for Gazans and Palestinians. They want to eradicate those people. So I don't think that's a false flag. They want them out of that country. They want them out of there. You're going to love this. You're going to love this. They found a book yesterday. Did you hear about the book they found?
No.
You know, over in that era where the kibbutzes were?
Mm-mm.
You know, in the dance party, you know, and
massacred
people?
Perfectly intact passport.
Yeah, probably burnout car, but it had a perfect book in it. Well, most of a book, but it had all the details of all of this terrorist attack.
Right,
and
of course.
I'm like, it still doesn't explain y'all removing the guards. But it even had how they scrambled all the electronics and made the gate okay to open, you know, to drive the tanks in. And I'm like, okay, but clearly Hamas doesn't have the sense to do that. And so they know that came from Hezbollah. So we can just pull into Iran and all have, you know, God knows. But remember me telling you about that Pentagon briefing a week ago? And I'm not going to share what I shared with you then about, you know, the Egyptians directly told Israel everything Hamas had planned. So then they had Hamas's game plan to pull it off, you know. Okay, but here's the other thing that was said in that briefing. The president ordered the Pentagon to take action against anyone who is hostile toward Israel. I'll say it again. If I were y'all, I'd pass along my friends. The president ordered the Pentagon to take action against anyone who is hostile toward Israel. Now, remember that damn law that DeSantis passed in Florida when he went over to Israel to sign the damn bill that you can't say anything anti-Semitic or wear a shirt? You know?
Yeah.
Nothing. Well, I can tell you, I made phone calls and said, it is not the same. I am anti-Zionist, and I can tell you, I detest Christian Zionism.
Yeah.
But right about now, because they made it very clear when the next ship got there, they were going to have boots on the ground. And
while we're on
the
subject, Bobby Kennedy Jr. apparently hasn't gotten the memo either. So
the hostage rescuer said... The hostage negotiator said, if they send in boots on the ground, probably none of those hostages will survive. But the other thing you mentioned about pinpointing people directly because they say the same damn thing, you know, like, who's over there taking pictures, for God's sake, if you got all this stuff going on? Listen, 60 Minutes last week, they didn't have anybody over there to rescue anybody for 8 hours. And I don't agree with you, Chris, that it's all like staged actors. Psychopaths have no problem killing people. I mean,
absolutely.
They kill people. People get killed. They do get killed. Not all of them, not all the time, but there are people who get killed.
Well, I have made that point repeatedly on that note. I've made that point repeatedly.
And I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the people that kill
people. If you go back in the history of stick around, folks. I'll make that point in the next segment. We'll be right back.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge. And I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214, or by email at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
Welcome back. Okay, so to the point that, you know, by all means necessary, essentially, and that people, you know, collateral damage, innocent, you know, killing innocent people. I've made this point over and over. I mean, first of all, the strategy of tension dictates and demands that you kill innocent people far removed from politics, because that instills fear in people all the more. But this is a different context. And yesterday, even, I mentioned the infamous Ben-Gurion quote: "We must use terror, assassination, intimidation, land confiscation, and the cutting of all social services to rid Galilee of its Arab population." And this has been a disputed quote, but I mean, it was in Michael Bar-Zohar's Ben-Gurion biography, published back in 1948, I think. And so, you know, of course you'd want to dispute that under the circumstances. But, you know, again, going back to the roots of the revisionist Zionist party, even Wikipedia says revisionist Zionism has strongly influenced modern right-wing Israeli parties, principally Herut and its successor Likud. And if you go down that rabbit hole, I mean, even backing up, as I mentioned earlier, revisionist Zionism had its own paramilitary group called the Irgun, out of which another organization known as the Stern Gang emerged, out of which emerges Herut, out of which emerges Likud. And here we are today with Bibi Netanyahu and the folks around him, his family members, like Ben-Zion, who have a history of terrorism and killing innocent people. And so it's the I don't know, the elephant in the room. I'm not naive to that. I've mentioned it several times. So,
well, I don't want my money spent on this, and they are delivering more than just some weapons daily, according to the Pentagon briefing. And that last ship, when it gets there, is full of Marines. Now, they've still held off on, you know, sending in their ground troops, so they shovel those people down to the south of Gaza. And except a lot of them can't go. They have family members that are disabled and old, and they're not going to leave them up there. That hospital getting bombed, oh, but Israel didn't do that. Well, you want proof of that? Listen to that idiot on BBC the other night denying it with his photograph. And even once the reporter could get, or the host could get a word in edgewise, he said, well, actually, even in your picture, you could see where there are two separate strikes right there. And then on NPR yesterday morning, that photo was 5 years old, you know. The other thing is they just lie. I mean, I'm sitting there going, how can anybody believe this? I mean, you can't just fall for it because Israel says it. I know. Oh, well, once they take over everything else, what, they are the United States of America? I'm like, no, there is no United States as Israel. We are not Israel. Oh, but we are. I'm like, when did Israel ever our great ally? Or were their great ally, of course, because they wouldn't have done this if they did not think that we, the people, have their back and send our ships and everything else over there. You know, I can't just get the USS Liberty out of my mind for starters, but they're sending our Marines. I don't want a Marine. I don't want 1 foot of anybody in our military on their land, because I can tell you, all these damn wars we get into over there, has there ever been one time that one IDF service member has ever assisted us? No. The only thing that Israel has ever done is have AIPAC conferences here and put tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars into politicians' campaign funds. That is all. Oh, and a lot of bribery, criminality, and things like that. But the FBI and the Justice Department say, no. We're just ignore that. I'm a little tired of this. And you know what? Do you know, out of our whole entire Congress and Senate yesterday with that march in D.C., that it was actually Jewish people holding a march in support of the Palestinian people? Do you know only one congressperson showed up? One, Ms. Jayapal. She was the only person at all. Not one Jewish member of Congress showed up for that. Thank you for letting me vent. I love you.
Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Yeah, if you really want to dive down the rabbit hole, there are a lot of interesting little explainers. There's the article in ArabNews.com, The Old Will Die and the Young Will Forget, David Ben-Gurion, back in 2002, April 25. And that's an interesting explainer. Why do Israelis behave like Nazis and white South Africans during the apartheid years? Why do they indulge in massacres, demolition of houses, an expulsion of Palestinians from their Palestinians' lands and homes? The following quotes from Israeli leaders will explain why and why we should expect even more atrocities. or atrocious things and murderous assaults from Israel. Yeah, it's you know, the truth is horrifying. That's Arab News. Can you believe them? Well, how about Tikkun? Here's an article from Rabbi Michael Lerner, similar, Jews Against Zionism, an intro to their perspective. Editors note, while the article below has a narrow conception of Zionism, equating it with the policies of its most racist and reactionary elements, parenthetically, though not without some foundation, given that these elements are currently dominant in the Zionist movement, a mistake similar to that made by some in the left when they identify American patriotism solely with the right-wingers who wrap themselves in the American flag to defend imperialist policies and not with the liberal and progressive movements that have flourished and often triumphed in American history. But that's a different discussion, isn't it, dear comrades, the liberal and progressive movements. It is nevertheless important for Tikkunistas, those who mobilize to heal and transform the world, hopefully by joining our network of spiritual progressives. This is probably where we should insert the Dennis Prager clip, to inform ourselves about the views of the people of people who totally reject Zionism in all its iterations, even if we don't fully agree with them. So, you know, this is Stephen Lenman's article, actually. You know, and I've talked about some of this in the past. The Neturi Karta are some of the most outspoken but from this article, Lenman's article that's quoted here, The Hidden History of Zionism, in his 1988 book, Ralph Schoenman explained four Zionist myths. The notion of a land without people for a people without a land, to promote the fiction that an empty Palestine was there for the taking by its rightful original inhabitants. And, you know, that's a whole different discussion. I probably should dive down this rabbit hole at some point, sometime in the near future. I mentioned Isaiah 66, Revelation 21, you know, Joshua 11 and 21 are also in view here when we go off on these rabbit trails. Anyway, the four Zionist myths, a land without a people for a people without a land. Number two, Israeli democracy. You know, they're not Israelites biblically, they're Israeli. Is Israeli democracy the only real one in the Middle East? In fact, Israel is democratic like South Africa was, apartheid and much worse. Civil liberty, due process, and the most basic human rights apply only for Jews. We played the video earlier. This is not hate speech, these are explainers. So we played the clip, you know, Kim Iverson talking to Rabbi Yaakov Shapiro. The clip, Israel needs to be a normal nation for Israelis and not for Jews alone. It's, you know, fascinating how this passes off and that, you know, again, folks who call themselves Christians can't see the psyop at work here. Myth number three, security is the motor force of Israeli foreign policy because it's surrounded by hostile Arab states. Why the hostility, though? And four, Zionism is the moral legatee of the victims of the Holocaust, the most pervasive and insidious of the Zionist myths. In fact, Zionists like future Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir openly colluded with the Nazis for their own purposes, and that's a fact that I was, getting to trying to point out. Speaking of, you know, Bolin's post, Likud, the terrorist party of Israel, as he pointed out, from Albert Einstein's letter to Americans back in December of 1948, Albert Einstein and others, the 28 Jewish notables, as Bolin put it, wrote, "Among the most disturbing political phenomena of our times is the emergence of the newly created state of Israel of the Freedom Party, quote unquote, a political party closely akin in its organization, methods, political philosophy, and social appeal to the Nazi and fascist parties. It was formed out of the membership of the following of the former Irgun Zvi Leumi, a terrorist right-wing chauvinist organization in Palestine." As Bolin wrote, the letter warned of the terrorism that Begin's party could be expected to bring in the future. It is in its actions that the terrorist party betrays its real character. From its past actions, we can judge what it may be expected to do in the future. Einstein pointed out that Americans needed to be aware of the terrorist party of Begin. And then again, quoting the letter, the discrepancies between the bold claims now being made by Begin and his party and their record of past performance in Palestine bear the imprint of no ordinary political party. This is the unmistakable stamp of a fascist party for whom terrorism against Jews, Arabs, and British alike and misrepresentation are means, and a leader state is the goal. In the light of the foregoing considerations, it is imperative that the truth about Mr. Begin and his movement be made known in this country, America, that is. It is all the more tragic that the top leadership of American Zionism has refused to campaign against Begin's efforts or even to expose its own constituents to the dangers to Israel from support to Begin. And that support has continued to this day. So, just to finish this thought, Bolin continues, Harut was a one-issue party intent on expanding Israel's borders. According to the Birth of Israel, 1945-49, Ben-Gurion and his critics by Joseph Heller. When Begin came to power in 1977, he immediately began planning to occupy southern Lebanon and invaded that country in March 1978. From 79 through 83, the Israeli military operated a terrorist bombing network in Lebanon, headed by IDF Chief of Staff Rafael Eaton, which used car and truck bombs to create chaos in Lebanon. According to Rise and Kill First, The Secret History of Israel's Targeted Assassinations by Ronan Bergman, published in 2018. So, to finish, the terrorist party that Einstein warned Americans of in 1948 went on to become the ruling party of Israel. Harut, later renamed Likud, has been the dominant party of Israel since 1977. As the leader of the party in the Likud alliance, Menachem Begin became prime minister of Israel in June 1977. In 1988, Harut merged and became the Likud party, a political party that has been headed by Benjamin Netanyahu since 1993. And again, diving down the rabbit hole of Netanyahu's family and ties and things, same thing. You know, it's a terrorist network everywhere. Intrigue, deception, blackmail, etc. Coercion, manipulation. Interesting. Anyway, I'm sort of off on a tangent. Let's go back to the phones and grab James in Vancouver. James, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
One of my Masonic buddies was in the police in Palestine from 1945 to 1948. And he looked at me one day and said, he and some other British buddies, I don't know if I told you this story, looked at me and said, I lost a lot of mates in the King David Hotel. So I think that was Begin's deal.
Mm-hmm.
But wanted to say something about, have you heard people are talking about the Samson option that some proponents of Israel are hinting at, like journalists like Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro. Did you hear anything about that?
Say that again.
The Samson option, which is if Israel can't win, say, against Iran, then they've got the right to set off all their nuclear weapons and create a nuclear war, their all-out nuclear war. That's the Samson option.
Yeah, it's perfectly in keeping with the nonsense. You got to keep up the victim psychopathy and pretend that it's a real thing.
Right.
But, you know, I mentioned the other day, I don't recall the PowerPoint presentation, but, you know, years ago, not that many years ago, a few years ago, I talked about the CSIS report and discussion about Iran's military capabilities and the fact that even if they did have a nuke, they didn't have the rocket technology to even lob that payload to the Israeli border with a tailwind.
Yeah.
So it's absurd. But Israel's had nukes since the 60s, right?
But what I hear is they've
kind
also
the general
got them
consensus.
Planted in certain cities in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
And for example, I hear all the Hasidic Jews have moved out of New York City, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, there's these talks of nuclear weapons placed in particular locations such that if, you know, they want to create more havoc, like you mentioned, blowing up trucks in Lebanon, this would be a big one, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Mark Levin was interviewed by someone on Fox News, and he got really irate and hostile when she started asking him more about this situation, about the taking things to the ultimate of having nuclear weapons used, you see. I want to ask, are the United States Marines going to land there? Or they have landed?
I'm not sure on the specifics about that, so I can't comment.
Well, you see, this is blackmail now, right? It's mm-hmm. it's getting beyond the pale, and the fact that they're hinting at this Samson option, I would say, really destroys the credibility of that outfit in Israel, who's running this show. Because now they're really showing their cards. Anyway, I just wanted to get that out there. Back to you.
Well, you know, speaking of the Marines, I mean, the discussion is basically, like I said, you know, the ridiculous nonsense that doesn't make sense unless you have some foreign policy expert from the Council on Foreign Relations and Friends to explain stuff. But, you know, Hamas, which is not a thing, attacks Israel, and now we can't have peace with Saudi Arabia and we should attack Iran, which we've been trying to find an excuse to do for 10, 20, 30 more years. And we played a bunch of that stuff yesterday. It's again, I mean, I don't understand. I guess because we're not familiar with the nuances, you know, as I just mentioned, you know, as Ben-Gurion put it, the old will die and the young will forget or not ever know. And so here we are, you know, I mean, we played clips.
Yeah.
Gosh, you got Patrick Claussen talking about the traditional way America gets to war. It would be best if someone else starts the war. Guess what? Here it is.
Yeah.
And, you know. To Ben's point and your question, Marines are being dispatched.
That's what I heard.
You know,
yes.
Iran is in the crosshairs, apparently.
Yeah, and
right on schedule.
What could happen is that Iran and the others will stand down and they'll wait for a time in the future when Israel can't use the Samson option. I believe you see. And it will still be an ongoing conflict, of course.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like that's, you know, in my own estimation, that's more of a kind of a further inducement of the PSYOP, the victimhood psychopathy. and really kind of a test of the political will, you know, deal that is always kind of out there. It's pinging basically for support. Do we have the political will to go forward? And, you know, again, in my view, the bigger picture is what should be in focus. It's easy to get target fixated even on the what you might say the legitimate concerns over the gaslighting, manipulation, the lying and all of that that we're dealing with. You know, the absolute inversion of reality when it comes to this, you know, the lens that we're almost forced to view all of this stuff in. And if you don't go along with it, you know, like Lynn was saying, you know, you're clearly an anti-Semite and probably a terrorist yourself. It's ridiculous. But still, I think to step back and see the bigger picture, for what purpose? What is the purpose of that? Why is that happening? I think is important. And my mind goes back to Genesis 11 redo.
Well, you could imagine the stress and the pressure on the Congress critters in Washington to go along with this ridiculous madness. So I will let you go and talk to you soon. How's that?
Sounds good. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
All righty.
Take care. As always.
Now. Bye-bye.
So, you know, you can't hardly have a conversation. You got to hand it to the, you know, the PSYOPs warriors. You know, this whole anti-Semitism thing, I've unpacked that ad nauseum. Go back to Genesis 10. You know, what is the etymology of this term anti-Semitism? And like Lynn said, you know, there is this effort increasingly to say that if you're anti-Zionist, you're anti-Semitic, which is not true. The term anti-Semitism is etymologically linked to Shem and his descendants. The vast majority, according to, you know, any encyclopedia of folks who call themselves Jews, are not Shem's descendants. So my first question is, where are Shem's descendants? And do we hear from them? If not, why not? Because if you're really anti-Semitic, then you don't like Shem's descendants. So who are they and where are they? Are we hearing from them? That I think is an important question. The second question is, for those who actually use the term as a term of art to cow and manipulate people and to try to deflect away and, you know, misdirect and divert attention from the obvious, which just gets discussed on this network, for example, why are they using that term? What is their association with Shem and his descendants? I'd like to know that, because if you have no affiliation in any way or any meaningful or substantive way and you're using that term of art, that belies deeper motives. Seems like you're trying to do that to throw someone off the scent. There was one thing I was going to mention. You know, there's a confluence between the, you know, a lot of this, what's going on, and the communitarian impulse that you can see really kind of in sort of the nexus of someone like Amitai Etzioni, for example. But, you know, I think of Carol Quigley and his the lecture, The Mythology of American Democracy. And he said in that lecture that you need three things to win elections: money, organization, and enthusiasm. And, you know, without getting off in the weeds, that gets right to the heart of this discussion and the AIPAC influence. We can come back to that later. And he said in that lecture back in 1972, The Mythology of American Democracy, that money is really kind of pushing out every other factor. It's overwhelming the other two factors, organization and enthusiasm. And I talked about that when Barack Obama ran and raised $600 million in his campaign. And I joked back then about how the campaign who raises the most money wins. And that's basically what Carol Quigley was saying. Anyway, that's worth looking into. We'll talk about that more later. And I also want to go back to incorporating with this a look at the book. Like I said yesterday, I might start with this, The Cause of World Unrest. That's an interesting, all of these things coalesce there. Anyway, without wasting any more time, back to the phones. Scott in Nevada, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hello, Chris. Right. You hear me okay?
Yeah.
Am I on? Okay. Yep. Hey, about 2012, did you catch it when Kissinger said, in 10 years, Israel will cease to exist?
I vaguely recall something like that.
Okay, so 2012, Kissinger said, 10 years, Israel will cease to exist. Just set that thought aside. Now I want to mention the Soviet occupation of Central Europe, apartheid South Africa, and the European Jewry occupation of the Levant, Palestine. So the West Coast longshoremen, when the Soviets cracked down on the Solidarity Movement, Lech Walesa, mm-hmm. the West Coast longshoremen boycotted all Soviet bloc ships. 10 years later, there was no Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And then something happened in South Africa, very egregious, and the West Coast longshoremen boycotted any vessels from South Africa. And then several years ago, I just happened to be in the Bay Area and caught this, the IDF did something particularly egregious in Palestine, you know, the Gaza. And then the West Coast longshoremen boycotted Zim Lines, which is like an Israeli state carrier. But what I've noticed over the decades is that whenever they boycott a vessel, 10 to 12 years later, that nation ceases to exist as such, as it was. So
interesting,
I'm watching
observation.
It. Yeah, interesting observation. But what I'm concerned about right now, America is so screwed up that when IDF goes into Gaza with ground forces, watch out, because this whole thing could blow up, even here in the States. These major cities could go major weird. So that's what I'm watching for. And yeah, too bad. So, you know, any informed observer has very little sympathy for the state of Israel.
Okay, yeah.
Chris, I'll let you go.
Thank you, Scott. Much appreciated. Interesting observations and remarks. It reminds me of the little horn, biblically, a little bit, that seems to, you know, be a bully. And then, I don't know. We're out of time. Hey, I'm going to jump on Beyond the Official Narrative with Richard Carey. And so that's coming up next. If you're interested, stick around and stay tuned for that. As always, I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. And it's an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.